A new U.S. military aid package for Ukraine as Russia continues to pummel Kyiv.
In response, the United States is going to continue to support Ukraine, help give them things that they need to better defend themselves.
Plus, North Korea unsuccessfully attempts to put the country's first spy satellite into space.
Even for Seoul residents who routinely deal with North Korean launches, the incident was startling.
And efforts are underway to secure a global pact that aims to end plastic waste. Today is Thursday, June 1st, and this is VOA's International Edition. Good morning. I'm Lori London in Washington. U.S. President Joe Biden has approved another military aid package for Ukraine that totals up to $300 million as Russia continues its assault on Ukraine's capital.
Russia has continued to wage just a brutal, completely unprovoked war against Ukraine, launching yet more airstrikes and bombarding Ukrainian cities all across the country. In fact, in just this here month of May, Russia's launched 17 different air assaults against Kyiv, harming civilians, devastating civilian areas, hitting civilian infrastructure. Now, in response, the United States is going to continue to support Ukraine, help give them things that they need to better defend themselves. As part of all that effort, we've got an upcoming package here, which will be the 39th drawdown of equipment from the Department of Defense inventories using presidential drawdown authorities. We will use that package that we're announcing today to provide Ukraine with additional munitions for Patriot air defense systems, which Ukraine has been deploying quite effectively, as well as more Avenger air defense systems, Stinger anti-aircraft systems, and ammunition, of course, for the HIMARS artillery and anti-armor systems that the United States continues to provide to Ukraine.
Speaking to reporters Wednesday, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby responded to questions about recent drone strikes in Moscow, including one on Tuesday that lightly damaged residential buildings.
We have communicated privately to the Ukrainians as recently as last week or so that we don't want to see U.S. supplied equipment used to strike inside Russia, that we don't support attacks inside Russia, and that we are not going to change our policy about not enabling or encouraging those attacks.
U.S. officials have said there is no suggestion that U.S. made drones or munitions were used in the Moscow strikes. Moldova on Thursday hosts a symbolic summit of EU officials where Moldovan leaders hope to push their country's long-standing bid for integration into the European Union. That effort has fervent supporters and opponents, both internal and external. Marcus Harton narrates this report from Ricardo Marquina in Chisinau.
Tens of thousands of people recently took to the streets of Chisinau, called by Moldovan President Maia Sandu to show how much Moldovans want their country to fully integrate into the European Union. The president rallied the crowd, making her point clear.
Moldovans are Europeans, and in 7 years, we must become full members of the European Union.
Moldova received candidate status in June 2022 after applying for EU membership against a backdrop of extreme external pressure due to Russia's war against Ukraine.
Our country must be part of a united Europe. Let's live better with democracy. We do not want to return to the past, to be part of the Russian Empire again.
Moldova is deeply divided. For a significant part of the population, Russia is the way, not the EU. The anti-European opposition has also mobilized in the streets of the country for months.
Historically, we have been united with Russia, with Ukraine, with the Commonwealth of Independent States. Europe is not going to help us.
Support for the Kremlin is especially notable in the southern region of Gagauzia, where the Russian ambassador to Moldova is greeted in a friendly manner by local authorities during a regional festival. The region's newly elected leader, Evgenia Gudul from the pro-Russian Shore Party, spoke to VOA.
We want to have good relations with everyone, both with European countries and with the Russian Federation. We don't need enemies. We are supporters of peace and the neutrality of our country.
But Moldova's central authorities believe that, despite internal resistance from a part of the population, the European path started by Chisinau is irreversible.
Absolute majority of our citizens have voted time and again in the last 30 years for more integration with Europe, for more connectivity with Europe.
The war in Ukraine and increased tensions with Russia make this a crucial and dangerous moment for Europe. And in this context, analysts say Moldova is the most fragile link in the chain. For Ricardo Marchina in Chisinau, Marcus Harton, VOA News.
North Korea Wednesday attempted to launch its first military spy satellite. The attempt failed, with the missile crashing into the ocean, but not before startling Seoul residents. More now from VOA's Bill Gallo in the South Korean capital.
Sirens blaring on the streets of Seoul just after 6:30 on a Wednesday morning. Many residents received a wartime alert, saying they should prepare the elderly and young to take shelter. Minutes later, a second message appeared on phones saying the warning was sent in error. The warnings were prompted by a North Korean satellite launch, which headed south before crashing into the sea well off the coast. Even for Seoul residents, who routinely deal with North Korean launches, the incident was startling.
뭔가 이런 상황이 처음이어가지고 뭘 넣어야 될지.
16-year-old Kim Ji-woo says she started packing an emergency bag with snacks and a phone charger. She says she felt she had to do something, but wasn't sure what, since the emergency message provided no details. It is extremely rare for North Korean missiles to disrupt life in South Korea. That's partly because there are so many launches, about 100 since last year. Many South Koreans don't even know when North Korea fires a missile. It's been years since a launch prompted air raid warnings in Seoul.
문자 내용 자체도?
Seoul resident Choi Seol-gi said she was sleeping near an open window when she heard the sirens. She says she received an evacuation alert on her phone, but didn't know what was happening or where to evacuate. Though many were confused, few seemed to panic. But now they have questions. Why was the message sent in error? Why didn't all residents get the same warning? And where would they go if they did have to evacuate? Seoul officials defended their approach, saying it's better to be safe than sorry. But there is a danger that people will ignore future alerts, says Seoul-based international relations professor Mason Ritchie.
For me, the first concern is with false positives like this. You know, messages that are sent out in error, you condition people to not take these messages as seriously. You know, even if the delay in response to a true crisis is only a few seconds or a few minutes, that might actually make the difference between getting yourself to safety and not.
South Korean officials may soon get the chance to do it all over again. North Korea Wednesday acknowledged their satellite launch failed and said they will attempt another very soon. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul, South Korea.
Aiming to secure support for Sweden's bid to join NATO, President Biden signaled a transactional approach in his engagement with newly reelected Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who's been one of the most consequential yet complicated members of the transatlantic military alliance. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wiedekuswara has this report.
Thousands of supporters of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan celebrated his victory earlier this week. World leaders called with congratulations, including President Joe Biden.
He still wants to work on something on the F-15s. I told him we wanted to deal with Sweden so that get that done.
It's the first time Biden linked the two issues together. Ankara has long sought to purchase 40 American-made F-16s, but Congress is blocking the deal. U.S. officials have rejected suggestions of a quid pro quo. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
That is not a condition. President Biden long been clear that he supports selling F-16s.
In response to Russia's invasion on Ukraine, Finland and Sweden applied for NATO membership in May 2022. NATO membership must be approved by all members. Finland entered NATO in April, but Sweden's bid has been held up because Ankara believes Stockholm is harboring terrorists, militants from the banned Kurdistan Workers' Party. Officials hope Sweden's membership will be confirmed by the NATO summit in July. Fighter jets aside, U.S.-Turkish ties will remain complicated and transactional, said James Jeffrey, a former U.S. ambassador to Turkey, who now chairs the Middle East program at the Wilson Center via Skype.
It's never 100% on our side. We're hoping it won't be more than 50% away from us. But a lot depends on the personal relationship between Biden and Erdogan. It's been frosty. The call is a good first step.
Erdogan has condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine while refusing to join Western sanctions on Russia and expanding its trade ties with Moscow. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
We're following these other stories from around the world. U.S. defense officials are warning of an alarming increase in aggressive intercepts from Chinese military aircraft and vessels following a close encounter between a Chinese fighter jet and a U.S. military plane in international airspace over the South China Sea last week. They warn the intercepts could potentially create a miscalculated and unsafe incident. Sudan's army Wednesday suspended talks with rival paramilitary forces for a ceasefire that would allow civilians access to aid. As fears grow, the six-week-old conflict will push Africa's third-largest nation deeper into a humanitarian crisis. Negotiations had produced two short-term ceasefire deals that were repeatedly violated. Global and local human rights advocates in Pakistan have asked the government to try dozens of political activists charged with arson in civilian courts rather than military ones. A statement by Human Rights Watch said a military trial of civilians would breach Pakistan's obligations under international human rights law. This is VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
Canadian and Indian astronomers have detected a radio signal from a star-forming galaxy some 8.8 billion light-years away. They say that the radio transmission is the most distant found to date. The scientists from McGill University in Montreal and the Indian Institute of Science in Bengaluru, India, used data gathered by the Giant Meter Wave Radio Telescope located in Pune, India. The faraway signal was transmitted at a specific low-frequency wavelength known as the 21-centimeter line, which is emitted by atomic hydrogen, the basic fuel required for star formation in a galaxy. To capture such a distant radio transmission, the astronomers had to use a technique known as gravitational lensing. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Lori London. Lawmakers in the Philippines are targeting online casino operators and regulators as they try to crack down on the country's growing network of cryptocurrency scams and the human trafficking connected to them. Dave Grunbaum looks at the issue and one victim's story.
Backcourt is corrupt.
At a hearing on human trafficking, Philippine Senator Sherwin Gatchalian grills officials from several agencies, including the Philippine Amusement and Gaming Corporation, known as PAGCOR, which regulates the country's offshore gaming operators, more commonly called POGOs, that offer online gambling to overseas customers.
This brings international shame to us. The Philippines is becoming a scam hub.
In early May, authorities raided this alleged scam hub at a POGO site a few hours' drive from the Philippine capital, Manila. More than 1,000 trafficking victims from across Asia were rescued. Jason was trapped there for about 7 months. VOA agreed not to reveal his real identity or nationality for safety reasons. Jason says he came to the Philippines after being tricked into thinking he had a legitimate job, only to be forced into perpetrating cryptocurrency scams on American and Canadian men whom he fooled into thinking he was a woman.
They forced me to do a Roman scam. So we trying to look the target from dating app such as Facebook dating, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge.
Stories of cryptocurrency scams connected to human trafficking networks have become common throughout Asia. Families of victims have held demonstrations, including this candlelight vigil in Malaysia. Victims are trafficked to scamming hubs in the Philippines, Laos, Cambodia, and Myanmar. There are reports of victims being beaten and even killed if they disobey their captors. But Jason says that type of violence did not happen where he was trapped.
There is no physical abuse, only mental abuse. And the worst case is going into the detention room.
What would they do to you in the detention room?
Just leave it there for several days, and we just have to fasting and eat once in a day or something.
Jason spoke to VOA after testifying in front of this Philippine Senate committee hearing. The committee's chair is pushing for pogos to be banned.
If pogos are allowed to continue business as usual, the crypto scam and human trafficking operations will also grow at a frightening rate our government will never be able to overtake.
A call for action as the region grapples with scam syndicates trafficking massive numbers of victims. Dave Grunebaum for VOA News, Pasay, Philippines.
Australian Environmental Minister Tanya Filbersek has been in Paris for talks on a proposed global plastics treaty. A United Nations committee is meeting to work on a global pact that aims to end plastic waste. There is, though, little consensus about what the outcomes should be. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
The Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee for Plastics began meeting Monday in Paris to develop the first legally binding global treaty on plastic pollution. Discussions in the French capital are expected to end Friday. The meeting has attracted more than 2,000 people from almost 200 countries. The challenge they face is immense. In April, the United Nations Environment Programme said more than 430 million tonnes of plastic were produced each year. About two-thirds are short-lived products that soon become waste. Norway and Rwanda are leading efforts to end plastic pollution by 2040 to protect human health, protect biodiversity, and mitigate the impacts of climate change. There is, though, no consensus. Chemical producers believe any deal to eliminate plastic pollution should retain the benefits of essential and life-saving plastic items. The United States, China, and Saudi Arabia believe more effort should be made to boost recycling. Other participants have insisted national agreements rather than a uniform global treaty would be the best approach. Australia is keen for an international accord to be struck. Australian Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek has been in Paris. She told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation Wednesday that a global pact is the best way forward.
That strong international ambition gives us something to aim for and countries to cooperate with. By working cooperatively with Europe, we lift our ambition here in Australia because they've got higher standards on some of the recycling and types of plastic and plastic additives.
Plibersek said Australia would double its recycling capacity by 2025 by investing in 48 new waste facilities. The Australian Capital Territory, the jurisdiction that surrounds Canberra, will expand its ban on plastics from 1 July. Other Australian states and territories have developed a range of laws on plastic waste. In June 2022, New South Wales banned lightweight plastic bags. Western Australia and South Australia will outlaw the use of plastic takeaway containers in 2024. Western Australia will also ban expanded polystyrene that's used to pack electrical goods in cartons in 2025. Australian authorities have warned previously that the amount of plastic waste in the oceans could outweigh the fish population by 2050. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
While a clear majority of Americans still drink alcohol, many others are choosing to skip it. For those non-drinkers, there is now Binge Bar, Washington's first booze-free bar. Karina Bafrajian has the story.
Gigi Arandit hasn't had a sip of alcohol in about 6 years. In February, she opened Binge Bar, an alcohol-free bar in Washington, the first of its kind in the U.S. capital. She says that when she gave up alcohol, she wanted to find a space like Binge Bar, but there was none.
Right around the time I got sober, actually, that was back in 2018, I was on my way to Dominican Republic, and I grabbed one of those airline magazines by Southwest and read about an article about a non-alcoholic bar in Austin, Texas. In 2020, during the pandemic, around June, I want to say, this space became available, and I was asked if I knew someone that would be interested in renting the space or if I was ready to start my own venture. And for some reason, something just clicked, and I came back to that article. The rest is history.
The Binge Bar immediately became popular with locals. Many say it's a relief to sit at a bar and not apologize for choosing a non-alcoholic drink.
Man, I'm here 3 or 4 times out of the week, man. These are like my family.
Now you're not scared if you're not the drinker.
New research is beginning to suggest that even moderate drinking carries some health risks. But for Randit, drinking was a symptom of a bigger problem.
I think it was my escape. I think it was also presented to me at such a young age, because in the Philippines, you can drink at 16. And I was introduced to it. My first memory of having something close to alcohol was 4 years old. That's one of like my memory. And it was just handed to me to taste.
For alcoholics or people who just don't like to drink, socializing can be difficult. Booze-free bars can become a useful addition to therapy.
Many people have an assumption that a person who drinks too much is a bad person and is being selfish or hurting other people willfully. And it turns out if you look at alcohol not so much as a sin or a willful problem, but as a disease, a disorder, that people many times can't help.
Experts say finding a new hobby to replace thoughts about alcohol can help people who are trying to live alcohol-free or think they have a bad relationship with the booze. With that in mind, Randit hosts events like yoga and Pilates, dance sessions and musical gigs at the bar. Karina Befredjian for VOA News, Washington.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Lori London in Washington. Have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On May 15th, in yet another act of petty vindictiveness aimed at the United States, Russian authorities arrested 62-year-old Robert Shonov, one of their own citizens and a former employee of the U.S. Consulate General in Vladivostok. He was charged with cooperating on a confidential basis with a foreign state or international organization. He was transferred to the Lefortovo prison, where he is being held in preventive custody. These allegations against Mr. Shonov are wholly without merit, said Vedant Patel, principal deputy spokesperson at the U.S. Department of State.
Mr. Shonov is a Russian national who was employed by the consulate general for more than 25 years. And after Russia forced the termination of our locally employed staff, he was employed by a company that was contracted to provide services to the embassy in Moscow. And that was done in strict compliance with Russian laws and regulations.
For 25 years, Robert Shonov worked for the U.S. consulate in Vladivostok. However, on April 23, 2021, the Russian government notified the United States that it intended to prohibit U.S. Mission Russia from employing foreign nationals in any capacity. The Russian staff, who we were forced to let go, received a generous package that included several months of severance pay, allowances, extended medical insurance, and a prorated annual bonus.
At the time of his arrest, Mr. Shonov was simply assisting the Public Affairs and Press Division.
The United States strongly condemns the reported arrest of Robert Shonov, a former employee of U.S. Mission Russia, said State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller in a written statement. Like any diplomatic mission in the world, including Russia's mission to the United States, the U.S. Embassy contracts for local services to operate its diplomatic mission. Mr. Shonov's only role at the time of his arrest was to compile media summaries of press items from publicly available Russian media sources. His being targeted under the Confidential Cooperation Statute highlights the Russian Federation's blatant use of increasingly repressive laws against its own citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.